Everybody, this is Drive All Night. You have hopefully been with us for a few episodes so far, and you know a little bit about what's going on. If you don't, let me give you a little bit of background, or I'll get you a little bit up to speed here. Drive All Night is the podcast, meaning I talk about podcasts. I have a main podcast, or my earlier podcast called The Farsighted, and this is kind of a spinoff. One of a couple spinoffs, actually, at this point. You'll hear in this episode about another spinoff, because the interview that is on this podcast with my friend Ben, who you may know as Father Benjamin Gildas of Priest Pulse, or you might know him as a former member of Dreaming Under Mercury, or you might just not know him. But Ben is a friend of mine for years, and we had a chance to talk a little bit about podcasts and a lot about everything else. We certainly have conversational ADD where we just go back and forth and back and forth. But I think you know that about me a little bit already. Like I said, unless you're new. If you're new, the format's pretty simple. It's either me talking about podcasts or me talking to people who do podcasts. And this particular episode is me talking to people who do podcasts, and people being that individual we were just talking about, Ben Wallace. So, you know, stick around and listen to this episode. It's probably going to be roughly an hour. It's a little longer than most. Most of them are more like a half hour, but that's just the way it is. So I hope you enjoy it. A little bit of housekeeping before we move on. I'm driving around talking on the speakerphone. You guys know that is how I've done the Drive All Night podcast because, you know, drive all night. That may or may not continue. I probably will continue sometimes and won't other times because I just got some rad gear and have a whole rig going for podcasting. And I'm stoked about it, to be honest with you. And so I'll probably be using that more. You'll definitely hear me use that in The Farsighted. Obviously, a lot of my conversations are on location, so I'm not sure if I'll use that all the time. But one last note here. We talked a little bit about a man named Joshua Wise, a friend of Ben's in this podcast. Josh used to co-host No Avatars Allowed with Ben, which was about video games and theology. They talk a little bit about it, and actually I believe they have an upcoming episode with some of that stuff going on, and he kind of talks about that a little bit here with we're kind of like breaking an exclusive here because he didn't mention it to anyone before. But Josh has a podcast. The name, here I go, being unprofessional and yawning and not editing it out. My apologies, kind of. The name of the podcast is like Lord Something's Space Travels. God. Rather than listen to me butcher the name, why don't you just look at the podcast notes here and click on the link, because it's a lot of fun. It's a storytelling podcast. And we talked a little bit about storytelling podcasts in this conversation. So I guess I'm going to stop rambling. I'm going to let you listen. I hope you enjoy it. Ben is a good dude, and I do think you'll enjoy the conversation. Once again, thanks a lot. And oh, here I go interrupting myself one last time. The intro song you just listened to, that's John Bunch in Sensefield. This is Wednesday, February 2nd that I'm recording this. Hopefully going to have it posted up tonight. If you are unaware, John Bunch passed away overnight. I woke up to the news. I wouldn't say Sensefield's, you know, one of my favorite all-time bands, but I would say that I really enjoyed their stuff, especially their earlier stuff. John Bunch also fronted Further Seen Forever, which was a favorite band of mine in their early days. Not that their later days were bad, I just wasn't as into them. But John followed Jason Gleason as their next full-time singer. I think they had a couple little part-timers in between, but John was only 45 years old. Reminds me of Joe Strummer. Joe, I believe, was only also 45. He might have been 44. I'm pretty sure he was 45 as well. I could be wrong, and very likely am. I'm bad at remembering numbers of ages and whatnot. But, you know, unlike Lemmy and Bowie, who, yes, they died before their time just recently, they were still, you know, 70 and 69. John wasn't even remotely close to that. You know, that's 25 years difference, and sad. So I'll leave that somber note and turn it over to a less somber note. And here's another little ditty, actually an old song by Dreaming Under Mercury, the former band from Waking Mercury. You probably heard some songs on the Far Side if you listen to that. Their old band, because Ben was in that band. And here's just some old cheesy recording. Then you'll hear Ben. Then I'll take you out with a great song that I'll surprise you with. Just something I really like that you should know. Just a fun one. So that's it. Y'all take care and drive all night.
All right, this is called Peacemakers.
Exactly.
Why did they just disappear? Where are all those who grasp justice? Why can't we uncover them here? Where are all the peacemakers?
I actually am picking up a used six-channel board tomorrow, so I can actually have a soundboard plugged into the computer. So
yeah, I've thought about doing that in here. Like, I have to make some changes and stuff.
We
could
put another desk or something.
Yeah, I thought about doing it. I do most of my stuff though over Skype. I do most of my stuff in different places. Mm-hmm. So it's lately I've been recording some episodes in here, which is rare, and maybe that'll become more of a thing as I go forward. But so many people I interview are so all over the place.
I thought about getting like a USB mic, and I was like, oh, I'd like the versatility of a real microphone if I wanted to do something different with it. And like, they're not like they're not stellar mics, but I figure it's a start, you know? Yeah. And I wanted to get two instead of one, and I had a specific Amazon gift card budget for myself, so this was how much I could spend, and you know? And like, I had the mic plugged directly into the computer, well, into a USB sound card into the computer, because the MacBook was being weird with the input. So I use my old MacBook, like real old. So you know, I decided, okay, well, you know, I'll
Is it like the MacBook you guys have always had?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's my second one.
All right.
So Brooke's on her Air is only 2 years old, not even. The one I have is like the 4 year old computer, and then the original one we had until we got the one I use.
Oh, okay.
The one I use though, I just for Christmas got a new battery, a new power supply, new stuff. Nice. So I just kind of fixed it up. So it's running really good.
I miss having a Mac. Especially for podcasting.
Well, and GarageBand just does fucking everything for you. It's great.
It does. So Reaper is pretty good. Yeah. I use Reaper, and it, you know, tells me every time that I'm supposed to be paying for it, but we're not going to be dicks, so we let you use it. And so every time I feel a little guilty because I haven't paid for it. But
how
like,
much do they want you to pay for it?
I
you don't even know. Remember. You have, don't even know.
I know. I'm a bad person.
No,
so.
You're not.
But anyway, I'm so this is your show, man.
Well, hey. Well, so anybody who's... listen to The Farsighted knows you a little bit because we did a co-podcast or whatever
like
you want to call it.
A special two-part episode.
Right.
Half on your show, half on mine.
With you, myself, and Luke Eccles from Dreaming Under Mercury. And so a lot of times when I have podcasts with someone, I have to start with a little bit of getting to know them. And obviously, I don't really have to do that with you.
That's true.
Not to say the crowd doesn't need to know you a little bit, but... But like I said, if they want to hear a little bit more about you and your backstory and who we are to each other as friends and such, they can listen to that those episodes.
Yeah, that's true. We don't hash that stuff on there.
So I'll link those, you know, on this as well. So this is Drive All Night, which is basically just our podcast about podcasts. It really started out because I listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. That's really it. So I've had a couple guests, and I've had just episodes where I just was talking about stuff going on the podcast I listen to, and you said, "Hey, well, why don't we podcast?"
As soon as I heard about Drive All Night and the idea of podcasts about podcasting, I got so excited. It's when you're a podcaster, it's kind of like the thing you're nerdy about because you love doing it. And there's a podcast about not just like you love podcasts, but not a podcast about podcasting. And I'm like, I'm a podcast nerd, so I was really excited about the idea.
And I'm hoping to get like episodes where there are like technical aspects too.
That's exactly what I hope you'll do.
There'll be some that are just about what your podcast is about and stuff. And there'll be some, maybe hopefully some people that are actually like podcast engineers and stuff who are maybe in some of the bigger shows and just what they do behind the scenes. I'd really like to get into that because I think it'd be really cool to learn a little bit more about the professional side of it. Because you and I do it kind of more as a hobby. You're kind of trying to break into a little more. I'm trying to break into a little more. But it would be really awesome to get to know people who do it professionally.
Absolutely.
While I'm sure I'm not going to get, you know, producer for Marin, I might get the producer for, you know, We Hate Movies or something
that.
You know?
Yeah.
So reaching out to some folks, you know, Night of the Living podcast, if you ever listened to them.
I haven't.
They're hoping to be on soon. They're a really fantastic horror podcast.
I've heard you talk about them.
I listen to a lot of horror podcasts.
You like, that was the one surprise where I was like, all right, I can't wait to see what Justin's listening to. And I was like, all these horror podcasts. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be into the horror podcast as much as Justin is.
It's just entertaining. I don't know. I've gotten into film in general, so I think that's why. And interestingly enough, even though I probably am into music more than film, I'm into film podcasts more than music podcasts.
That really surprised me because I expected you to be listening to all these music podcasts and that's what you were going to be promoting. And then it was like all this film. And of course, you're into pop culture in general. Sure. I knew that. But like, I was surprised at how film-focused sort of, you know, that it became.
So... why don't I start with this question then?
Yeah,
and,
sure.
We'll get into your podcast next, let me just because it flows with what we're talking about. What kind of podcast do you listen to?
My new favorite podcast, and I'm not, this is not me blowing some, my new favorite podcast is definitely going to be the Kids Cast.
Oh, yeah?
What's the name of
the
it going to be?
Far Out Kids Cast.
Far Out Kids Cast. I'm so excited about Far Out Kids Cast. Like, I listened to the preview episode you did, and
that was just off the cuff for fun, you know?
It was the most fun I've had listening to a podcast probably ever. It sounded like my instant reaction was, I would do anything to get on that show.
Well, you'll be on it.
Because
don't worry.
Maybe
we'll have you and your daughter on it.
I thought that was so great. Like, just the amount of fun. Everyone who's listening needs to listen to the preview episode of this. The best part about it was definitely like the part where they're playing a game. It's 10 questions instead of 20 questions. And Justin's trying to come up with like a Star Wars character to give to Cash to guess. Cash being Justin's son. And, we got a guest coming in. Hey, buddy.
So Ben's roommate / old friend of mine, Blaine Martin, just popped in to say hi. So
hey, Blaine.
Hi.
What are you up to?
Going to get cigarettes.
Have fun. Enjoy your cigarettes.
Oh, I will.
So you were saying.
Yeah. So You're trying to come up with a Star Wars character to give to Cash to guess in 10 questions.
Right.
And your inability to do it because first, like, Cash heard you, and then, like, Weston just starts yelling out the answer. Like, Adam, it was so funny. I'm, like, laughing out loud listening to this.
So parenthood, right?
Like, yes. If you have kids, see, that's the thing. I have a 4-year-old kid, so it was, like, everything about it I love. So I'm really excited about the future of listening to that. It's obviously brand new. We've only done one episode.
We're probably recording this weekend with a friend of mine who's a movie critic, does some movie podcasts. He was on one of the episodes of this. Yeah, he was on this podcast already, Drive All Night, and Jordan Troublefield.
Right, yeah, I listened to that episode.
Jordan's going to come on Far Out Kidscast this idea he had during the Drive All Night podcast, that he's wanted to have a podcast with, like, a nephew or a niece or somebody, yes, where they each pick a movie and make each other watch it and then talk about them. So we're going to do that. And he picked a movie and Cash picked a movie, and they're going to talk about the movies and kind of compare notes, if you will. And then we'll play some games and do some other stuff. I'm very excited about it because it's he just, as a little spoiler here, we had to watch Return to Oz, the 80s Wizard of Oz movie with Fairuza Balk, which is freaking weird as hell.
Yeah.
And so Cash enjoyed it, but he thought it was really weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to hear him talk about it.
That's exciting. See, I'm so excited about the idea of that. Like, kids are just the best, and
right,
your kids are awesome. And
I love Weston, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be spattered in a little bit here and there instead of always there, because I can't record if he's there the whole time.
It definitely sounded like a challenge to do. Yeah, it's like you'd love to have him on all the time, but it's just not a thing.
He'll be a guest every now and again, or he'll be part of certain segments.
Right.
I'm trying to work out some other segments too. I'm going to make Brooke involved, my wife. I think we're going to have, like, a mom's corner where he's going to ask mom a random question and she's going to have to answer.
That's
like,
the best.
It can be literally, like, about her. It can be about, like, Star Wars. I don't care. Whatever question he wants to ask her.
Now,
and she's going to have to answer it on the podcast.
This is so much fun. Are there other people doing kids podcasts?
Like, I'm sure. Kid podcasts? But I can honestly tell you, I've never heard one.
Yeah, I've never heard one.
Oh, that's not true. I've heard one. Aaron Kleiber, who's a comedian from Pittsburgh, he's on, does a bunch of other stuff, and he's actually a... In the Pittsburgh scene, he's actually really well known, and he opens up for any of the bigger comedians who come through. And I know him through a friend of mine who's a comic out there, too. And he has a kids podcast, which is, it's not necessarily all kid-centric. It's about being a father. But he has his kids on regularly, and they're really funny, too. So that's the only other one I've heard. And but it's different focus, because this is really, like, to me... As we get further along, Cash is going to take over more of the hosting duties over and over and over, so I'll kind of be the backseat producer eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be really his podcast, but to start, I really need to, like, help him out a lot. Because, you know, he's only 7 years old, so, you know.
Yeah. The idea of breaking into podcasting at 7 is so awesome.
It makes me really excited.
It is exciting. So I started listening. I mean, I'm excited about listening to that. I listened to the preview episode of that. Of course, I do listen to your shows, I guess, now.
Plural. Yeah.
Let's see, podcasting in general. My favorite podcast is probably Radiolab.
I've never listened to it.
And it's a big, you know, it's a big podcast. And the reason why, though, is because my favorite kind of podcasting is probably story-oriented and personal story-oriented and sort of...
And that's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Because I listen to a lot of the stories. So that's
well, cool. It's not like, you know, it's... So basically what Radiolab does often is it tackles either a scientific or... existential or philosophical cosmological concept, but from, like, someone's story, so, like, a personal story or, like, a historical story or something that, you know, it locates the question, the big question that they're asking in that episode, it locates it in someone's narrative or the narrative of something that's going on. One of the most powerful episodes is one that they just did recently, that they produced, and I'm trying to remember, it was based on an episode of another show out of WNYC in Philadelphia. I can't remember the name of the other show off the top of my head. But it's an episode they did about a video game that's coming out called That Dragon Cancer. I think That Dragon Cancer just came out. It's the story of two parents and their child's journey with cancer, like infant.
Right.
And a tumor. Wow. Cancerous tumor.
There's a video game?
And they were struggling with their own child's cancer, and the father... felt like he needed to make a video game based on an experience he had trying to take care of his infant child, unable to stop them from crying. So he had this scene where he just couldn't get this child to stop crying, and then he's very religious. He started praying, and the child stopped crying. And that, in his mind, for some reason, translated into a scene in a video game. And they developed a video game called That Dragon Cancer about this journey of cancer, thinking that they really believed in faith that their child would be healed of this eventually.
When you say dragon, is it like setting as if the cancer is a dragon?
No, or? that's just the name
I'm just
of
curious
it.
Because yeah. I kind of, yeah, when you said that, I was picturing like a metaphorical cancer dragon.
No, but there is a lot of really cool ways. I mean, I haven't played it yet. I definitely want to, that they have visualized cancer. Like, according to what I heard, the outside of the screen as you're playing is always this darkness that's around the outside. And at different points of the game, it's either more intensely encroaching in.
So you have, like, smaller skin. Ah, that's cool.
Feeling claustrophobic by it. But it's always there. It's right. Always present. And the voices in the game are really the voices of the family. The real child who has now died of cancer, their voices in the game.
Wow.
And the description, I won't spoil, but the description of, like, where that child has gone now that they've died, that is how the game ends. So, like, what you want to call that, heaven or whatever you want to call it, like, the way they visualize that in video game form sounds like one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. But they tell this. So, talking about this cancer.
So, is the creator of the game the one telling the story?
It's their stories. It's the interviews with them.
That's really
cool. And that's how Radiolab approaches what they do.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to do that a lot over the last... I've gotten more into that over the last year.
Yeah.
Doing what I might
call... I
see
that based on you explaining this now and listening to your podcast. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I might have a topic. Like, I might want to talk... So, for example, right now I'm producing an episode. I've been doing some interviews about evangelism, church growth and development, the sort of decline of church in North America. Mm. And I'm doing an episode... I realized that, like, there's lots of stories of decline, and those need to be told. So rather than just tackling this from a, let's bring on some experts on the show to talk about church decline and how we might grow our church, I'm in the middle of producing an episode about a church in my own diocese that closed and has now turned into a new ministry in the community where it closed that has a bi-monthly feeding program, has turned into all this community development programs, an after-school program, and how, so the church died, but there's been this resurrection of ministry in the community.
And that's interesting because that would feed into, like, me automatically thinking, well, maybe the community needed that versus the church.
Well, exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's cool because, as you know, I have a very unconventional view of what I think church should be, maybe.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting to me.
And this community that I'm doing this episode on, it definitely, I wouldn't say it's not church. You know,
sure.
I would never, you know, it's certainly a...
it's just a different type of church.
Yes, yeah.
And I understand that. And I mean, because I had a friend who was a pastor at a church that met at a bar every week. You know what I mean? That's still a church.
Right.
You know, so I'm not against church. I struggle with the institution. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good segue. You talk about your podcast. So tell everybody the name of your podcast and a little bit about it.
So right now I do a podcast called Priest Pulse. I call it Priest Pulse, an Episcopal podcast, because I don't know a better sort of subtitle for the show.
And some of your episodes are quite Episcopal, and some of them are kind of more broad topics.
That's right.
Like something like you're talking about now, while it's maybe Episcopal-centered, it certainly has implications to everything.
That's right.
Whereas other times you went to, like, the General Assembly and really covered that.
Right.
And that's a little bit more specific to your denomination.
So sometimes I do very specific Episcopal news, Anglican news, and cover that kind of
stuff.
Sure. But most of the time I probably do stuff that's broad enough that if you are interested in sort of the inner workings of church and faith and theology, that somewhere we're probably going to do something that you're interested in. The downside to Priest Pulse, I was talking to someone about this recently, is that, and this is sort of intentional, but not necessarily a good idea, where I don't have...
I can cut a little bit of whatever if we need it. Okay.
Let me just make sure. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So I don't have a clear mission statement for Priest Pulse in some ways. It's sort of whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the best as far as marketing something. You know, you want to have a sort of a target demographic and sort of like, if you like these things, you're interested in Priest Pulse. I can do that a little bit, but sometimes I do an interview with someone who's publishing a book I'm interested in. Sometimes I do this storytelling like documentary style episode. Sometimes, so I sort of sometimes I go and I cover, like you said, our church's General Assembly, or you know. So there's a lot of different things.
Well, I understand. Stuff. Obviously, you've listened to the Far Side, and you know I don't have a focus. I'm interested in too many things.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. My only focus is that at some point I like to tie a little bit of it back to, you know, my view and where I'm at, but that's not even necessarily anything different than any other podcast. Let's be honest. So honestly, my goal with the Farsighted is really just to expose people to new ideas and new things.
Sure.
And it's really broad. You know, we had you've listened to some of the episodes. You know, like we've had, you know, someone describing their journey as a trans female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the next episode, you know, I have two rappers on.
Right.
Just talking about music.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, this week coming out, probably by the time someone hears this, it'll already be out. Because of some technical difficulties, it was supposed to be two musicians, but one of the interviews got lost. It's a musician and a discussion about theology, actually.
Oh, really?
With a pastor named Doug Black, who's a local guy, non-denominational. Cool. So it's a really wide variety of stuff. Oop. More interference.
Oh boy! I don't think it's downstairs, so I don't know if we're gonna be able to make it better.
Oh well.
We may have to have some background
noise. That's okay. Background noise is background noise.
This is the last Wednesday that our Wednesday one. You can cut this out. The last Wednesday, the Wednesday Wonders is the group that meets on Wednesdays. This is our last day ever doing this. So it happens to be.
What is Wednesday Wonders?
They meet on Wednesdays to like do stuff like you like they do stuff around the building and stuff like that. But they're all older guys. They've been doing it for 20 years and they're retiring.
Okay, interesting.
This is their last day. So.
Well, maybe I'll just get a little closer to the mic, so maybe we're, you know, whatever. But not too much closer because I don't want to like blow it out.
Right, right. I used to have a pop screen on it, but
Well, obviously we talked a little bit about some of the technical stuff earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting into using mics. I've been using my internal mic forever since I started.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. You don't have a clear mission statement, because I don't have a clear mission statement either. I understand that.
So like the third episode of Priest Pulse ever, we interviewed the guys who make A Game for Good Christians. Do you know A Game for Good Christians?
Well, I know it's basically Cards for Humanity out of the Bible.
It is. It's all about, and they're biblical scholars too. I mean, they're extremely well educated.
And they had to use voice filters because they didn't want to be recognized.
Yeah. So it's my favorite episode I've ever done. The third
it was
episode.
Fantastic. I enjoyed
it's,
it.
It's really funny. It's I get to put it as explicit on iTunes and stuff because we swear like crazy in it. I mean, we have to swear just to read cards in the game. I mean, there was no way we were not going to swear up that episode. I think.
Well, I don't swear. You know, I don't believe
right.
that.
So I think the other episode I have that's explicit is the one I did with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we curse a little. It wasn't that bad, but yeah, we do. Yeah, we certainly do.
I mean, I just put it as explicit.
Well, I would see, my whole podcast is marked as explicit. Not every episode is, but I don't take the risk. Mm-hmm. Like, I figure there's a chance I'm going to say fuck at some point, so mm-hmm. I'll just leave it as explicit.
Yeah.
But, the Far Out Kids cast will not be explicit. My 7-year-old is not going to be throwing bombs.
Hopefully
if he does, we're going to probably have to change the format a little bit.
Have there been some accidental F-bombs in Cash's life?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know if he said
inevitable.
Them. I don't know if he said them. I'm trying to think. He said some other words. I've never heard the F word from him.
Okay.
I've definitely heard shit.
Yeah. Well, even my daughter dropped that word once.
Yeah, and
she
in
like
fact,
instantly knew she was like instant guilt face. She was like,
you know what? Weston, my younger one, he's definitely said fuck. Well, because he's a repeater. So it's like he's in the next room and we're like fired up about something and he listens in, he'll just go, fuck. Fuck. And I'm like, shut up. You know you're not supposed to say that.
Oh, hence the, like, Jabba the Hutt thing from the from the kids. Him, he's a repeater. He likes
to
repeat. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a repeater. And actually, he he knows there are certain things he's not supposed to say, but he'll repeat them just because he knows it's going to bother me.
Yeah.
Like, he knows certain words he's not supposed to say. And interesting topic about that. I don't call words bad words. I call them adult words.
Yes, that's what I tried to
do. A friend of mine gave me that, and I really like it because I don't want you to think, like, you can't say them because it's bad. I want you to think that you're 7 years old, you don't say those.
Well, then
you know?
then they're confused because people they respect and
right.
care about, they
right.
hear them say that sometimes.
Sure.
And then that's really confusing. If those mm-hmm. are bad words, is daddy being bad if he says that
sure.
word? Because you know it's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Like, well, I work at a prison.
Right.
I mean, I work outside of a prison now, right. but I've worked in the Department of Corrections. Trust me, if I'm in a formal meeting, I'm not throwing the word around. But when I'm sitting and having a one-on-one conversation with an offender about his life, that word's coming out because that's how they talk, and that's how I talk with them, because you have to meet someone on their level. Certainly, like, a man, like, in the Bible, Paul, you know, meeting someone at their level.
Right.
I actually had that discussion as part of the theology discussion of
oh,
how
really?
We, yeah, how, the, you know, a little bit about that. Actually, And in the podcast that's coming out, I also talked a little bit about cussing or swearing because the rapper who I had on, who's a Christian guy, he doesn't really filter himself. He says whatever, and he's taking flack for it. He's a big fan of Plato, the MC from used to be in Illharmonics.
Oh, okay.
And Plato's taking flack because he's a battle rapper too. Uh-huh. And battle rap, it just happens.
Uh-huh.
You don't intentionally mean to say whatever, but it comes out that way. And so he's taking flack from the Christian scene about it as well.
Mm.
But needless to say, I think that's really funny. Like, you know, like kids repeating me is definitely, yeah. But that will be edited out if it happens on the kids cast, because I want to keep that cast able for people his age to listen to.
Yeah.
There's a couple other like guests we want to get in. He's really into this YouTube channel called EvanTube HD.
Okay.
And Evan's like this kid a couple years older than Cash.
I'm not cool enough
and
for YouTube, so.
He puts like Lego sets together on it, and like he gets like, he must be sponsored by like toy companies because he gets like the new toys to talk about and stuff.
That kid is and lucky so, and awesome.
Right. So Cash is always likes watching him. He wants to be like, eventually Cash wants to start a YouTube thing. I was like, let's start on a podcast. I don't do video right now. I don't mess with video.
Right.
But I was like, oh, maybe we should see if like we can get Evan to come on as a guest. Like,
that'll be awesome.
Would love that. We're gonna have Cuckoo Kangaroo on, who are like bands that he loves. I had Playdate and Cuckoo Kangaroo on my podcast talking about kids' music. And Playdate's Greg Attenito from Bouncing Souls, who's like a living legend to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of them are gonna hopefully come on to this podcast.
That's awesome.
This other, you know, musician named Nate Allen, he'll be coming on. He's really fun. So I'm really excited about that podcast, too. I definitely agree. And you and I were talking about starting another podcast,
too.
Oh, yeah,
too. That's right. So, like I said, right now the only podcast I'm doing is Priest Pulse.
Right.
But it takes up a lot of my time. Like,
sure.
I have 10 episodes in production phase
right
now. From editing all the way down to, like, scheduled recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of work given something I do as a hobby.
Right.
But having said that, I listen to other podcasts and stuff, so I get these ideas for podcasts, and I was listening to Drive All Night, and it was your interview with Jordan
Troublefield, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way,
He has a show called Seeing Double.
Right.
And where they watch a Hollywood movie, and then they watch the knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had a take on that we wanted to do, right?
Yeah, because you mentioned it, I think, in the show of, like, bad Christian movies, specifically ones, I guess, that are sort of takes on
a topic of a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, or like, yeah, exactly. So like the Christian version of something.
Sure, and there's a lot of them.
Right, and watching those and then talking about them, I'm so excited. So we're already talking about scheduling.
And actually, the one we're talking about to start is the opposite. It was a Christian movie first and then a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Is Left Behind. And I... believe it or not, I'm going to have probably worse things to say about the Hollywood movie. I've watched them both. And
so you saw them both?
Oh, yes. But we'll be sitting down to watch them together and doing this. And I'm hoping to maybe do like a monthly format with that.
That would be so excited. And now, I want to do, this is not a sort of remake of a of a Hollywood movie, but I want to do God's Not Dead. I know you said
we could probably find something with similar themes.
Okay.
It's one of the worst movies I've seen in my entire life, but not because the production value is bad. But because the message is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the trailer. If you haven't watched it and you're listening and you're interested in religion at all, or even if you're not, watch the God's Not Dead trailer and then God's Not Dead 2.
I can't believe there's a God's Not Dead 2 coming out.
And the cast is crazy.
Maybe we'll just watch both of those back to back and then jump out a window.
So, yeah, exactly. So Sabrina the Teenage Witch is in the new
Nice!
One. Ernie Hudson is in it.
Wow!
Yeah, it's like Ghostbusters are there,
so
you know.
Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to be in a bad Christian movie, guys.
Oh, and what's his name? What is the actor's name? He's in Twin Peaks.
I've never seen Twin Peaks. Would you believe that?
No.
That's something wrong with me, right?
Yeah, definitely. I can't
and it's coming
it's
back,
the...
right?
Yes, it is. And I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan, so I'm extremely excited about it. I should find a David Lynch.
I was going to say, well, David Lynch, I just got assigned. I write for a bunch of websites and stuff. I take on like an assignment called Liam's Film School that Liam O'Donnell,
mm-hmm.
who you know,
mm-hmm.
Who writes for Synapse, he gives me an assignment. And so it took me 3 months to complete my last one because I just got busy.
Yeah.
It was my Halloween one, just posted yesterday.
Nice.
So, but he, I told him I wanted something, you know, expand my horizons, and he said, I'm thinking a director, so he gave me a few options, and I was like, you know, I've watched 2 Lynch movies ever, because that was one of the ideas, he's like, alright, so he gave me a list, and only one of the ones on the five movies I'm watching, and they're all in like chronological order.
Okay, what are you watching? Do you remember?
Starts with Eraserhead and goes to Mulholland Drive, and there's a few things in between.
So you haven't seen Eraserhead?
No.
It's
one Blue Velvet, and that's on the list.
Yeah. So Eraserhead is, I just saw it for the first time after I watched Twin Peaks
It's a Philly institution, my man.
I know. So Eraserhead is one of the most fucked up things I've ever watched in my life.
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
It is, I don't even know how to explain why. It is truly terrifying and disturbing, and yet has nothing in it that necessarily should be terrifying and disturbing.
Really?
I even can't even tell you what it's about.
And mind you, it's a much more modern movie and a different director, but that kind of makes me think of Pi. Darren Aronofsky's Pi. There's nothing in that movie that's really disturbing, but the movie's disturbing as hell.
That's kind of what Eraserhead is like.
Okay.
The thing about Eraserhead is that, and Stanley Kubrick does this later, that... And I really think it starts with David Lynch, which is that the sounds of the movie, for whatever reason, are so visceral and so intense that like just these, there's just these sounds that are like a scratching or a crying, like that kind of drive you mad, because the movie does deal a little bit with the idea of madness, and like you kind of feel like you're going mad while you're watching it.
So do you think it's something that Kubrick? You think Kubrick, and I'm sure if I looked it up, the answer is going to be yes, but Kubrick was influenced by
early Lynch stuff. I absolutely think
because, like, when you say that, I feel like The Shining.
Exactly.
The book The Shining and the movie The Shining are two different things.
Completely different things.
The book is not something where I would think it's Lynchian, probably, but the movie is. And even though Stephen King initially hated the movie, he actually likes it now, despite the fact he says it's not my book.
Right.
You know, but that particular... that movie, there's a lot of that.
Yeah,
is he really hearing these things? What in their really weird, visceral sounds? That's part of the going mad. Yeah,
that was directly influenced by watching Eraserhead. Yeah. And that what David Lynch was.
Well, and there's so many people who name Eraserhead and Blue Velvet specifically as really influential films to them. And those are two films I haven't watched and will be watching, so I'm very excited.
I also just saw Dune for the first time.
You never saw Dune?
Isn't that amazing?
You're the biggest sci-fi geek I know.
I know.
Alright, just to paint a picture, I'm sitting in a room with Father Ben, who's a pastor here, and his entire office, there's a couple, you know, religious items. Most of it is Star Wars, Star Trek, Muppets, dressed in Star Wars gear, Jaws, or a hammerhead shark. I'm sorry, a hammerhead shark.
Where's the shark? That shark is actually, where is it?
What's it from? Up top, the big, water bottle.
Oh, that's actually from, so this is actually from New York City Zoo system.
Oh, okay. Thought it was.
No, over here.
Oh, man, I missed the whole backside.
Yeah, so there's more toys. Over here I thought you meant this shark, which is Aquaman shark. I don't really remember.
Oh, I actually have that in Lego.
And there's Aquaman over here.
Okay, and Aquaman Imagine X figures from Aladdin.
Yeah, in case.
Who's in the back? Who's the Caesar looking dude?
Oh, that's actually, this one's I'm kind of ashamed of. This one I didn't buy myself. This is, Beowulf. From the Beowulf movie.
Okay, well, because it's from the Beowulf movie, that sucks. But Beowulf itself is awesome.
I've never seen the Beowulf movie.
You've read the book, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had it in school, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever read Grendel? Side note.
No.
Okay, so Grendel, man, this is like the most haphazard podcast ever.
No.
But that's okay. Grendel is a book that's the Beowulf story from the perspective of Grendel.
Oh, yeah. I've heard.
Fantastic book. And it's not it's written in more modern language, and you know he says fuck and stuff like that. But it's fantastic. I own a copy. I'll lend it to you. So back to the story.
You are
a giant nerd, and you've never seen Dune.
That's right. I had never seen Dune before, and I finally did, and blew my mind. That movie is.
You read the book of Dune?
I have not. No.
Okay. The movie again. Two different things.
And Blaine, my roommate, is like obsessed with Dune, and he loves the Dune miniseries that I guess Sci-Fi Channel did later.
The miniseries is much more attuned with the book.
Right, that's what he said.
The movie is really freaking weird, and it's David Lynch. You know, it's supposed to be Jodorowsky. Alejandro Jodorowsky did early set pieces.
Okay.
With H.R. Geiger, drew all the the costuming and stuff.
Okay.
You know who Geiger is, right?
He
designed Alien and stuff like that. Okay, so, and he just died, last year before? But, Jodorowsky, who I did an assignment on for my thing, too. I requested it, though, because I've been wanting to watch him. He one of the most weird directors you'll ever see stuff from. I mean, ridiculously weird. Most of his stuff is not very narrative. But it's not, like, college filmy. It's, like, weird without... With still being Hollywood-y. I don't know how to explain it. It's really weird. But he started the project.
Hmm.
And then got removed from it after, like, overspending and stuff. And they ended up spending even more money when they brought on Lynch. So it doesn't, I don't get it. But his picture of it looks really good. And there's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune, which I have a copy of. So, again, you'll be borrowing that. And it's his view. So now that you just saw Dune, you can watch... The making of that didn't happen with him.
Oh, and there's the director's cut, which adds another, like, half an hour.
To the already 3-hour movie, or 2.5-hour
movie? 2.5 hours. Yeah. Because they had filmed, like, something like a half hour to an hour, more footage, whatever. So they released a director's cut that's... I don't think it's the full movie that Lynch wanted to release originally, but it's a lot more. Yeah, it's closer.
Well, so Jodorowsky, despite the fact the movie got taken from him, really respects Lynch, and... He said the vision of what he think Lynch wanted was not that far off from what he wanted.
Mm.
And what it became was bastardized.
Right.
But he doesn't blame Lynch for that.
Right.
And interesting because he's not American. I believe he's from Argentina.
Okay.
So he has a real thick accent. So watching him it's interesting. But
yeah, David Lynch said that was the last time that he did a movie where he didn't have full final editing approval.
That was how he built it into every contract for the rest of his life, that he had final cut.
Yeah.
He refused to not have final cut after that.
And I don't blame him at all.
Yeah. And that's one of the few Lynch movies I had seen.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen Lost Highway. I've seen Mulholland Drive.
Uh-huh.
Those are it.
Okay.
I don't remember Lost Highway or Mulholland Drive very well at all because I saw Mulholland Drive when it was brand new and Lost Highway when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Dune probably since early college.
Yeah.
So I'm really completely going into it.
That's fun.
So I'm excited.
You need to watch Twin Peaks, especially before it comes back, because I like this has turned into like a David Lynch podcast here.
Yeah, apparently we now have the Drive All Night, the David Lynch All Night podcast.
Yeah, because this is not about podcasting at all. But so this will be the last thing I say about David Lynch. But watch Twin Peaks before it comes back, because one of the amazing things about it, and this couldn't have been intentional, but there is something in the show from 20 years ago that takes place 20 years later, and the show is relaunching 20 years later.
So they're going to pick it up with
that. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
And it ties
in. Now, is Lynch part of the new movie?
No, he's absolutely. Everyone is. Almost,
okay.
Everyone who's basically
still... Because he only actually directed the first couple episodes, right?
But he
was part of the concept, the writing team.
I think
he
wrote and produced the whole series. Yeah. Okay. And it was him and someone else whose name...
That only lasted a few seasons, right?
Two seasons,
okay.
And so the first season is a murder mystery about who killed Laura Palmer. And then the second season... is they forced him. He never wanted to reveal Laura Palmer's killer, but people were like, basically the studios made him, because they were starting to lose ratings because people wanted to know who killed Laura Palmer. The show was never really meant to be a murder mystery. It was meant to be science fiction.
Who picked it up for now? Who's it coming out of?
I forget. Showtime maybe? I don't remember.
When it was originally on?
A network.
Started on a network.
I don't remember.
I think, yeah. Well, anyway, okay. So
at times in the past, I've noticed.
But it's definitely going to be on a premium channel.
Oh yes.
So that's good, because that means he doesn't have to deal with networkizing it.
Which a little worries me only a tiny bit, because I've seen Fire Walk With Me, which is the prequel movie they did after the show was over, and he could do anything he wanted because it was a film.
Right.
And that movie again is just
what the fuck?
Yes, the entirety. It's like, what did you finish it? And you're like, I don't know what I just went through.
Right.
Watching, it's just disturbing and horrible, and in a profound way, though.
Right.
Like, in the way that you want to experience horrible things, I guess, if you are into those kinds of movies.
Yeah.
So,
well, anyway. Jodorowsky is that, too. So if you like that kind of weird mindfuck.
I do.
Holy Mountain. I wouldn't recommend starting with that one, though, because that's his mindfuckiest movie I ever saw. I'd recommend probably starting with El Topo, because it's weird and not fully narrative story, but also does have some narrative to it, so you can follow it a little more.
I tend to like stuff that...
He has a horror film called Santa Sangre, which is really good, too.
Santa Sangre.
Yeah, that's really good, too.
I tend to like stuff that draws influence from these disturbing things, but itself doesn't quite go over the line. So, like, one of my favorite shows of all time is Lost.
Okay.
One of the reasons why I love Lost so much is because it draws influence from all these... like science fiction things and sure. horror things, but never quite goes that far and tends to tell sort of profound spiritual truths and sort of existential truths, but utilizing some of the elements of those things. Right. And I like every now and then to like cross those lines.
Sure.
And like I don't do horror that often, but when I do, I like to do it something that I know is going to be awesome or something right. that's truly... I mean, I love
Okay, so Santa Sangre is not jump scary scare. Yeah, it's right. mind-fucky scary.
Right.
But... of the movies I just named, that's probably the one that would fit most into what you're saying because okay. it truly is a narrative story.
Right.
It borrows from a lot of his other stuff. And it's actually interestingly set in the middle of the stuff he did, so it's not like at the end. But if you watch his breath together, it's interesting because it all kind of builds together one weird something.
Mm.
And he's got a movie that he's crowdfunding right now, and he's an old man. To be kind of his last hurrah, which is kind of a sequel to this movie he called Dance of Reality, I believe, which was pseudo-biographical film about himself, but also with weird fantasy characters and stuff. Very interesting. But he plays himself, and his son plays young him. It's, I don't know, weird, but interesting. It's interesting film to say at least, and I believe it's like 20 years old now, so that's the last thing he's done. Mm. But, so, all said and done, back to podcasting for a
sure,
minute.
Sure, yeah.
No, but I actually think it's an interesting conversation because that's what this kind of discussion is, the kind of podcast I listen to. Everything. You know, right. like all kind of back and forth. And like,
uh-huh.
So, you know, I've talked about, you know, how I listen to a lot of film podcasts. But like, to the last 2 days, I've been listening to Combat Jack. Do you know who Combat Jack is?
No.
He was a big name lawyer for hip-hop artists. And he then eventually left doing that to run... Vibe magazine, maybe
okay.
one of the big hip hop magazines, and then he's retired from that since and really focusing on podcasting because he used to do a radio show and online radio. He was like early on radio when that kind of became a thing, mm-hmm. and he's built it into this podcast and really cool because he mostly hip hop folk, but like he'll have like DeRay was on, DeRay McKesson from you know the Black Lives mm-hmm. Movement and you know different people. He just had a podcaster on named Taxstone who's a real street dude who runs a podcast who I have not listened to, but I just added because I was really interested in listening to him.
Uh-huh.
So, like, obviously I listen to a really wide variety yeah. of stuff. And you talked about storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite podcasts completely is called Risk.
Okay.
And it's Kevin Allison from The State.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the redhead gay from mm-hmm. The Jew, the Italian, and the redhead gay. He runs it, and it's but it's a storytelling, and it's some of the stories are really deep and really like hard to listen to. Even
I'll have to check that one out.
And some of them are really light and funny.
Yeah,
and most of them are recorded at these live shows all around okay. the country. And I wish I had a story I wanted to tell to do with the next Philly one because I might just go to listen.
Yeah,
because it's really cool. And have you ever heard of the Mortified movement?
No.
Okay, there's a movie called Mortified Nation you can watch on Netflix. That's kind of the...
Oh, that is sort of ringing a bell, actually, now that you...
It's all these people reading letters and diary entries and yeah. stuff from when they were younger.
I did hear about that.
And
yeah.
the podcast, it's only like 20, 30 minutes long each once a week. And it's usually one, maybe two stories. And
have you been listening? I thought about subscribing.
Subscribe to that. You should. Okay. Because it's right. short. And so right. you can... If you got a quick little drive somewhere, you get through a whole one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really interesting. Jordan Troublefield, who was on my podcast, he was on it sharing Jurassic Park fan fiction he wrote in high school.
Yes.
It's awesome. But that's the kind of thing that's yeah. on that podcast. That's so you would definitely vibe that oh, for yeah. sure. So it sounds like, you know, you said you have a lot in the hopper, if you will, coming out for Priest Pulse. You said you have like 10 episodes coming out. What should we be expecting soon?
I just recorded two episodes in a row that are shows you the sort of breadth we're talking about of what I'm interested in doing and like what the show does, so much so that I came up with an idea of how I can handle it. So I had I'm actually holding a mug in my hand from I started podcasting years ago for a podcast called No Avatars Allowed. That's how I got into podcasting. My friend Joshua Wise, who's a PhD candidate at Catholic University
of America. He actually got you this mic, right?
He did. He gave me my first podcasting mic, which I still use, the Blue Snowball microphone, as a gift when we were doing No Avatars Allowed together. We did 105, I think, episodes of No Avatars Allowed.
I've never listened to No Avatars Allowed.
It's video games and theology.
I like the theology stuff. I'm not a video game
okay.
guy.
I mean, we, you
know. I'll probably check it out. Did you ever put it on iTunes?
No, it was all on iTunes.
Okay, cool. Is it still there?
I should know the answer to that, and I forget whether it currently is, because there's been different states of yes and no to that.
Okay.
I think it is all available somewhere, and I mean, can find
usually
out.
Usually it doesn't go anywhere until you make it go somewhere.
I think it's sitting there. I mean,
if you still have it hosted on the internet somewhere and it's linked to it, it shouldn't go anywhere.
I think it's up. So
I'll be searching for it when we leave.
Like I said, there's 105 episodes we did of the show, and Josh and I were the co-hosts, and then for a period of time, my friend, who you also know, Steven Stitely, was a co-host.
Yeah, I don't know him well, but I do know him.
Right. Yeah. And we did video games and theology. He came and did two episodes of Priest Pulse with me the other night, and they're both...
Okay. Steve.
Sorry, Joshua Josh Wise. Okay. So those episodes are now in production, in editing and stuff, but one of them is the follow-up. I did an episode called Atheism and the Gospel a few months ago,
sure,
where I gave opportunity for two different atheists to come in and talk about why they are atheists and what they think about religion without any kind of judgment or any kind of...
Yeah, I thought
like,
it was really interesting talk. Yeah.
And then I did a follow-up episode about sort of church decline, church growth stuff. So that was sort of the sequel to that. And so the one
this
of
is
the,
like part three.
So this is part three, and it's talking about the gospel and evangelism from a theological point of view, with Josh talking about those issues. He also had some pretty harsh words to say about the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion. He is Anglican, so he's in the Anglican context. He's Episcopalian. So
that you know him through church?
We went to seminary together.
Gotcha, okay.
So you
started podcasting at seminary?
We did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were both seminarians at the Lutheran Theological
That was back
seminary.
When you had your long, flowy locks, right?
Yes. Yeah. Long hair. And
you,
I was
you were like trying to be Samson?
Yes.
Couldn't cut your hair?
It didn't work.
No. Yeah. There was no Delilah, though. I mean, you just cut it yourself.
I did, and yeah, it just... didn't... Nothing. I wasn't strong before. I'm not strong
Yeah, you
now,
were...
So.
Yeah, I don't remember you ever being strong.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
But, so we... I forget where I was going.
So Josh is talking about the Anglican Church and some...
Yeah, evangelism, the gospel...
Some harsh words about it.
From a theological
yeah.
perspective. And so we did that episode. And then we did an episode that was basically a reboot of No Avatars Allowed, where we talked, and Blaine, my roommate, was on the show. The three of us talked about Fallout 4, which are both currently, all three of us are currently playing, and the Apocalypse.
Isn't that now officially like the biggest game ever?
I don't
Fallout
know.
4? I believe it is. Best-selling game in the history of games or something, yeah.
I have no doubt that that's true. And Josh actually published a book called Past the Sky's Rim about the Skyrim franchise. Are the Elder Scrolls franchise from Bethesda, which is the same company that makes Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the theology of the Elder Scrolls series, and he was the editor of that book. It has multiple authors. And
all right, so it's like a compendium kind of thing?
Yeah, so you can buy... It's like a... The
does he also write sections of it?
He does.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So it's one of those books that's like the theology of Harry Potter. This is the theology of the Elder Scrolls games. So we talked about...
It interests me, even though I don't know anything about Elder Scrolls, just because it interests me, you know?
Yeah. So we talked about Fallout 4. The game we talked about, and so it's basically No Avatars Allowed again. I mean, it was like, and it felt so much like doing that again, even though it's been years. So I was like, it's nothing like what I do on Priest Pulse at all. Like it's mm-hmm. so, and it's so far off that like most people who listen to Priest Pulse probably gonna be like, what is this? So I think I'm gonna call it Priest Pulse Off the Rails. Like so I'm gonna start doing these special episodes every now and then where like the show or I take the show way off rails and we do a format that's like not at all what our normal format is, even close. It's so far off the rails of our normal format that I'll just make it a special thing and have it be this Priest Pulse Off the Rails. And so it'll be like No Avatars Allowed edition. And so that's actually, this episode of Drive All Night might go up before that does, in which case this is the reveal. That's been a surprise. And believe it or not, there are a few people, probably like one or two, who were No Avatars Allowed fans who are still out there who
asking you to do it.
Like, I'm like, yeah, they know something sort of No Avatars Allowed related is coming, and so they might be excited to hear
maybe they'll become fans of Drive All Night.
Maybe the one or two people.
Hey, two fans is better than none. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how many subscribers I have to this podcast yet, just because it's new. We're only this is the fourth episode,
right.
So. But you know, we get a lot of listens actually on the Farsighted, so I'll have to check out where we're doing on this. But
yeah,
you know, honestly, I definitely intrigues me. I'd love to discuss some of that stuff and hear Josh's take on maybe some of the games I actually know about, you know, games from like 20 years ago.
Well, we talked about some of those in
which
No
means
that's
why
Allowed.
I'm going to be digging into the archives.
You should, because Josh is a huge fan of classic games, so we talked about Zork a ton and like just old games like that. I mean, we talked about everything. I mean, it's 105 episodes about video games and theology, so we talked about everything. We even did a whole series on the church councils, like the ecumenical councils of the church from the early church, where we like dug through that history. It had nothing to do with video games. It was just sort of a series on learning about the councils, which is just sort of Christian history. So we did all kinds of things with that show.
Every time you say councils, just because we're in a room with all this nerd stuff, I keep thinking of like the Jedi Council.
That's not what it's like?
No, is it?
That's why I became a priest.
Okay, because it's like the Jedi Council?
Because I thought it was like being on the Jedi
Council.
Yeah,
and you got here, you were all upset you didn't get a lightsaber upon graduating.
I'm very upset about that. I mean, I have this like fancy diploma on my wall that's all in Latin and stuff like that, and they handed me that, and I'm like, okay.
But where's the lightsaber?
Where's the lightsaber? I got the robes.
Yeah, you're basically a Jedi without the saber.
Right, I have a staff, though.
Which that would is, work.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's kind of like a battle staff.
Yeah, that
it's,
works.
It's kind of like, is I don't know, this is like a Star Wars world. It's kind of like Rey before she picks up the lightsaber.
That actually, that he has a staff sitting in the corner of this room that looks a lot like Rey's walking staff, actually.
Yeah.
But and we could probably have a whole episode about Force Awakens, and I'll bet you there's some really interesting theological implications of that if we're starting to think about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't really started to think about it.
No, tons.
But
I often feel like I made a joke that I feel like. Like Kylo Ren, when I first saw the movie, after I was walking around in my habit and my robes were falling, and I sort of felt like I want to be like Kylo Ren, like the way he like moves with the robes and the way like there's like this look. And somebody was like, "Kylo, you don't feel like Luke or someone good? You feel like the bad guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, hopefully we don't find out that like you defect on your bishop and then go kill your dad. Although he is a Cowboys fan, so I don't
so maybe he deserves
maybe
it.
He deserves it. I'm just kidding. I don't know if you would ever listen to a podcast, sir.
Nah, he'll never listen.
Okay, good. Cowboys fans don't listen to podcasts.
The millions of them out there, I'm sure none of them do.
No, I'm sure.
But I have another format that's sort of a new format for Priest Pulse.
Okay.
That I'm excited about doing, and we're scheduling the first one of this right now, which is like a Priest Pulse roundtable.
Oh.
Where do you watch? The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central?
Never seen it. No.
Okay. I'm a big fan. I think it's a good show. One of the things I like about the show is that they do a segment at the end of every episode where they have like four guests of some sort, comedians or celebrities. Lots of celebrities have been on it.
Okay.
And Larry will moderate a conversation.
So even though I'm not a fan of it, is it kind of like the what Bill Maher does?
Yeah, it's not unlike that.
Even though I hate Bill Maher.
Right.
That's another story.
So I want to do a show where I bring in some guests for each one, different people, and moderate a conversation about current events in sort of short burst conversation. So like 5 minutes on this topic, 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 we're done. Or like 5 minutes.
Like a wide variety of people?
Yeah, and have like, you know.
You're talking about like other priests, or are you talking about other priests and other random people? What are you talking about?
All of the above.
Yeah.
Because we haven't started doing it, we're just playing one. I mean, not everyone, in fact, actually, now that I think about it, I mean, we might, other than me, we may have, like, one of the four guests on the first one might be, one or two might be clergy, because the other two I'm working on trying to get on are not clergy at all. But they're in the Episcopal world somehow, in some way.
I gladly will come on if you want me to come.
Oh, sometime, definitely.
Tear apart some things.
Yeah, definitely, and we won't talk about current events, and some of those current events will be church-related, and some of them will be
like, if you want me to talk about Ammon Bundy, I could go off forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, talk about Ammon Bundy, or talk
Thank
about...
God, a guy got freaking arrested yesterday.
Right, he did. Or talk about, so Jim Wallace, who's a...
I know Jim Wallace very well.
Right. He recently said something about Donald Trump and how the election, how this is a gospel issue. How the stuff that Trump is saying, his rhetoric, especially against immigration, it's a gospel issue. And as
I could probably agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's a gospel issue, absolutely. But I struggle with it. So one of the questions I'm going to ask on a show like that is how it's a gospel issue. Okay, but what does that mean? Because for one, at my pulpit as a priest, I can't talk about politics. I can lose my 501c3 status. How do we navigate that?
It's amazing how many churches still do, though.
Yeah, I know. But the question is sort of, how do you navigate talking about politics in religion without, you know, do you try to avoid offending people? Do you try to do it in such a way that has a wide umbrella? Right. Like, how do you do that? And just, you know, having a short conversation about, You know, so there's a lot. So that's the kind of stuff I want to do in that new format. And I want to hear a variety of voices. I want to have a chance to bring in diversity to the show. Because I actually have a co-host. My co-host is Colin Chapman. And he's on the show
sometimes.
Where does
he live? Either?
He lives in Connecticut.
Okay.
And he's the associate rector of
a church.
You guys
Skype in when you do that.
Mm-hmm. And so we always joke around that, like, we're two white dudes.
Right.
And so we don't have much diversity going on in our show. So this will
two
give us
white clergy from the same denomination.
Yeah. So,
in fact.
Yeah. So we always joke around that we want to be able to bring in some diversity.
You know who you really need to have on? It's an interesting Episcopal voice. Broderick Greer. Do you know Broderick Greer?
I do know Broderick Greer.
He would be awesome to have on your podcast.
Yes. It's so funny you say that. Broderick Greer is going to be in Philadelphia. He might be right now.
Okay.
So it's the Forma conference is right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to be doing something at Forma with Priest Pulse. They had even extended an invitation for me to potentially do record a live episode and stuff, which I was very excited about. Unfortunately, because of the logistics of their conference and things like that, it ended up not panning out, which is a shame. I am going to have an opportunity to interview some of the folks who will be at Forma because they're in town. Mm. Like, they're here. I'm going to go meet up with them, record some interviews. So I have two episodes pending interviews because of that. And I'd love to do Broderick Greer. I actually haven't reached out to him about recording while he's in town, but I could. He is just a really interesting person.
Well, I mean,
How do you know Broderick Greer?
Twitter.
Okay.
Mutual Twitter follower friends things. Mm-hmm. We follow each other. I don't know that he ever reads my tweets because he gets a zillion, you know, things. Yeah. But
I tweeted him.
Although
this
morning. he did send me a an encouragement note because he was doing this thing. If you send him, message him your address, he'll send you a note.
Oh, really?
But I lost it.
Oh.
I wanted to post a picture of it because he said if you could post a picture when you get it, and you know, make a comment. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I lost it.
Yeah, he's one of the.
I read it. I mean,
he's one of the keynotes of Forma.
Okay. Well, and for those who are listening who don't know Broderick Greer, he's a gay black clergy member of the Episcopal Church.
Or he's not.
Well, not clergy.
He's not clergy quite yet. I don't think he got. I don't know. He was in seminary.
I thought he was a deacon.
He might have been ordained a transitional deacon.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I think that's right. I shows you what I know. But he,
Because I remember either that or he just finished seminary. One or the other. Because he got a bunch of congratulations a couple months ago. I don't remember what it was for.
Yeah. Well, what time of year is it? It's the winter. He might have just become a transitional deacon. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I would love to have Broderick Greer on my show. And very well could at some point. I mean, some of the people that I'm working on, I don't want to say anything because it's not definite. Some of the people I'm working on getting on the roundtable already are what you would call Episcopal celebrities, which are not celebrities in the real world. But they're
I probably don't.
You know who Broderick Greer is, so
I
there
do,
you go.
Yeah.
That's an Episcopal celebrity.
If they're a Twitter celebrity, I might know their name. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on, I think I could say this, and hopefully it'll work out, but last year I interviewed Scott Gunn, who's the, his title is either CEO or something of Forward Movement.
Okay.
And he's one of the guys that produces Lent Madness. I have my bracket right
here.
I happen to have my... And Tim Skank, who's the creator of Lent Madness, is supposed to be coming on the show to
talk about it.
He just published a book called Father Tim's Church Survival
I remember you
Guide.
Talking about Lent Madness last year.
Yeah, so Lent Madness, if you don't know it, lentmadness.org, it's a it's like March Madness, but it's saints. And each day, two saints...
Who won last year? Do you remember?
Who won last year? I should totally know that.
Because I remember you talking about it on the podcast. I just don't remember.
Yeah, and now I totally forget who won last year. Shameful.
Who were you pulling for, though? Who's your saint?
This year or last year?
Well, who in general, who are the saints that you're like a big fan of?
Gildas, who's not in the bracket and never has been, and I'm going to talk to them about that, is my patron saint, St. Gildas.
Okay.
Father Benjamin Gildas. Yeah, that's my religious name. But on this bracket, you know, I love... Soren Kierkegaard, he's on this bracket. Meister Eckhart's on here. Columba, who's a...
Kierkegaard's considered a saint?
He's on our calendar. He just has to be recognized as on a calendar as of saints.
Okay.
Yep. Julian Norwich is on here.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's some... Albert Schweitzer's on here. There's some really interesting people who are on this bracket.
Some more modern names, I mean.
Yeah, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's on here.
Oh, Bonhoeffer. See, I'd be pulling for Bonhoeffer.
So,
I'm a Bonhoeffer fan.
Absalom Jones is on here. I'm really torn about this year's bracket because everyone I just named means a lot to me in one way or another. And
do some of them have to face each other?
Well, not right away. Well, so in the first round, Sojourner Truth and Søren Kierkegaard are going up.
Ooh, that's a tough matchup.
I know.
How do you pick that?
Exactly. I have no idea how that's going to go. There's no other first round matchups that I think are like really, really tough. But eventually, you could have. In the first round, St. Athanasius and Dietrich Bonhoeffer go up against each other in the first round. That's the other, like, really big.
I don't know who that first
St. Athanasius is.
No. School me real quick.
Oh, he's probably the most important theologian of the early church, maybe more so than Augustine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Basically, in some ways, the author or a author of Christian Orthodoxy and the understanding of...
So I'm probably familiar with things he put into place. I'm just not familiar with him.
If you understand the Orthodox understanding of Christology, so the relationship of Jesus's God nature and human nature in the person of Jesus Christ as Orthodoxy understands it, then that's Athanasius. He was the really big proponent of that movement.
So he was like Mr. Christology.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess that's I guess you could say that, yeah. Anyway, he's going up against Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the first round. Really interesting matchup there.
I'm a big Bonhoeffer fan. But
I can see Bonhoeffer going all the way. I really can. I can see...
Sojourner Truth, though.
I know.
That's interesting with Kierkegaard. Man.
I know. I can also see Julian and Norwich going all the way. So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. So hopefully that interview works out with Tim Skank. And
before you have to head to your meeting in a few minutes, why don't we, since we just talked about like literally everything, why don't you just, you know, anybody who's listening to this, where can they check out your podcast? We already know a little bit about what to expect. Do you have any favorite, you know, old episodes that you think it would be a good place for someone to start?
Oh, that's a good question. I should really have my list of episodes up so I can say it. Like I said, my favorite. So I think the easiest way to find my podcast is to go on iTunes and search for Priest Pulse. You can also go to priestpulse.com. Go on Twitter at Priest Pulse. Find me that way. You can go on Facebook and facebook.com/priestpulse.
But pretty much on most social media platforms, it's Priest Pulse.
It's Priest Pulse. You can also find us on, I'm blanking on it, but what's the name of that other podcast?
Stitcher?
Stitcher Radio.
Yep, and you have a Libsyn page.
I do. Liberated Syndications who hosts the show, so it's like Priest Pulse.
Priestpulse.libsyn.com,
And so a lot of times I'll link that. Humor, Religion, and Sacrilegious is probably my favorite episode because it's so much fun.
So was that the one with the guys from...
Game for Good Christians.
Okay, yep.
And let's see. Some episodes I really am proud of. I did an episode called The Tribe of the Wild Goose, which might be available in two parts. I don't remember on the stream. I don't really remember.
I think it was two parts, yeah.
And it's an audio documentary about my monastic order, Anamkara Fellowship.
Okay.
And so it's a audio documentary about sort of the community and the history of the community and things like that. Atheism in the Gospel I really like doing, and that's...
I think you should explore that some more, too. I'm interested in seeing you dive more into that.
Yeah,
topic.
Which are, you know, I'm going to be. There was an episode that I really liked I did called... what is it called? Phenomenal Trust. It's a almost two-hour episode. The description of it is Taking Risks in Mission and Evangelism, and it was one of the episodes that came out of this year's General Convention of the Episcopal Church, where it's the story of... it's sort of the story and reflection of three different people doing alternative risky ministry in the Episcopal Church.
Yeah, I remember this episode now.
Yeah,
yeah,
from like
that.
Yoga ministry to like a food truck ministry to like church planting in Baltimore. And it talks about mission evangelism in all those contexts, but the personal narrative of how those ministries came out of the faith journey of the people involved.
Wow. I'll add, interestingly, sometimes the very Episcopal centric stuff.
Yeah.
I don't vibe with them on Episcopal.
Right.
But interestingly, the episodes you did on the stuff going on at General Theological Seminary.
Oh yeah, early
was
on.
Really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not an Episcopal, because of the political stuff that was going on, is applicable to, you know, any church and any denomination and any higher education institution for that matter.
So the first episode of the show kind of got started because there was a crisis at the General Theological Seminary, which is my alma mater.
Is that your first episode?
The first episode was the one where my co-host Colin and I, and at the time he wasn't even really co-host, we decided we were going to talk about the crisis at General Seminary.
Okay.
And that was the first episode. Then three episodes later, I did an episode called The Relevant Church, which is still to this day one of my favorite episodes. It's only 45 minutes long, which for me is a shorter episode.
Right.
And that episode talked about the future of seminary education.
Okay.
And it was not Episcopal-centric because
no, it wasn't.
There was one of the professors that's on the show is from the Lutheran Seminary in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
talking about, you know, sort of their curriculum shifting. And it's about sort of the future of church and the future of theological education, preparing
yeah.
clergy for a new way of being church. Mm-hmm. So that one's definitely relevant to people who are interested just yeah. in church in general.
But like I said, the general stuff was interesting to me because of the just the politics, the church politics and the higher ed politics and how...
Yeah.
Because it was both.
Yeah.
You know, and having interest in both, it was something that even though the Episcopal Church isn't something I'm part of, I got.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So there's ways to relate to it even if you're not Episcopalian. There's also some spiritual formation stuff we've done. Like early on I did a series called Keeping Lent. Which was just basically a spiritual program about different forms of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were live. They were done with the members of my congregation and other churches' congregation.
Okay.
And you can just listen to that. It's like Lenten programming. And since Lent starts on February 10th this year, if you want to go back to last year and listen to the Keeping Lent episodes and like learn about prayer forms, you know, you can use that. And we also did a online spiritual retreat day with Sister Barbara Jean Brown.
Oh, okay. I remember that now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where it's a retreat that she has led at several places.
Pretty
and
cool.
It's just an online version of the retreat. We just listened to her talking
really
about
cool.
the retreat talk.
Awesome. So a lot of places to start, depending on what you're interested in,
yeah.
you know. And I'll link probably a few of my favorite episodes directly.
Cool.
And you can definitely check it out. I'll definitely link our two-parter. So people, if they wanted to check out, you know, a little bit more about our history and our buddy Luke,
yeah.
Who had some great live music recordings during
yeah.
that, too, did for us. So that was nice. And before we leave, why don't I ask Father Ben to leave us with a benediction?
Okay. I'll give you my Celtic blessing I like to
That'd
give.
That'd be great.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. And the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you now and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for having the show.
Whatever the show was about.
Yeah. Well, we really did go all over.